بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again for the ni'mah of Iman and for blessing us and making us of the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah of the Holy Quran. And we thank him for having protected us over the past few days and once again enabling us to complete the night of Taraweeh. The 26th juz has been completed and we have the last four sections of the Holy Quran to complete. We make dua, Allah grants us to see its completion beautifully, and we pray for acceptance. These chapters have a name, the collective name, the Mufassal. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love to recite from these last chapters after chapter 50. He used to love to recite from them in the Isha prayer, in the Fajr prayer. They speak of many things, obviously, but it's Akhirah, it's Tawheed, it's morals that comes to the fore all the time. Akhirah, belief in Allah, and how we live with each other. And in the end, we all have our challenges. In the end, we are challenged by the places we live in and the norms of society that changes over time, and we have acquired or required to adapt. And then we have challenges and tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in our path, designed for our own progress and development. And then the challenge that we are faced with in Ramadan, or we are made even more aware of in Ramadan, is the challenge of the own self, the inner self. And Allah says, no matter what happens and no matter how you think or feel, we know what your nafs encourages you with, suggests to you. We know what your nafs whispers to you. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. In Surah An-Nas, Allah speaks about مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, referring to shayateen, those who blow suggestions into the ears or minds or hearts of man. Yeah, that's an externally entering suggestion. Here's a suggestion that comes from within. We are in an internal strife all the time. And therefore, again, I remind myself and you all of the hadith, I think we mentioned in the second or third night, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a dua or something that he can say and supplicate with and through and by in the mornings and at night. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after encouraging Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu to start by praising Allah, instructs him then to ask Allah for protection from the ills of his own nafs. A'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. A'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. But the hope in these verses, there's hope in these verses here in Surah Qaf. Allah says, we know what the nafs is whispering. We know your strife, your inner strife, your battle. Whether it be in relation to other people, what they're going to think, or how I should present myself, or what I'm tempted to do. Strife. But there's hope. Allah says, there are two angels with us, vigilant. One on the right, one on the left. They're observing, okay? But then Allah says, where action takes place, and where you choose to utter certain things based on what your nafs suggested, only then do they write. Your strife internally is your strife. Okay? You are not accountable for what you think or what crosses your mind, but you are accountable for what you linger on and for what you then act upon. And we believe that our utterances are also amal, are also actions. That's a bit strange to say in English, but you are accountable for what you utter as well. Think about it like that. Now, okay? Allah says, "Ma yalfidhu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid." There's no person who starts by uttering certain things except those vigilant by him will document it. And it links to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing hope in the situation. There's hope. As long as I think before I utter, not just my nafs tells me, hey, respect Musafi, you want to prat and soo. Of kick da, kick a loop say, no, kick ja. No, you don't just do it. That idea, this example is a bad example. Sorry, it just came to me. But yes, whatever, we are not people who act simply based on what we think and feel to do. We think about consequences. So we pause first, even if it's a second, and think, if I were to do it, would I benefit or would it be against me now? So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no believer who makes a niyyah to do good. No? Except that by that niyyah, he gets the reward of a hasana, a good deed. He didn't even do it yet. But you intend to do good, Allah's prepared to reward you already. And then when you ultimately get to practice on that thought or idea and intention, you get a minimum of 10 rewards. That's where good is concerned, positive actions. Where bad is concerned, see the hope here, see the mercy, see Allah's generosity. If someone intends to do something bad, man hamma bi sayyi'atin thumma lam ya'malha kutiba lahu hasana. Whosoever intends to do something bad came to your mind, but then you do not act on that bad, a good deed is written in your name. I'll say it again. Something bad came to your mind, and you choose not to act on it, a good deed is written in your name. But if you intended to do something bad, and you then acted on that bad, acted it out, then only one bad deed is written against you. Not 10. I don't want to say he's making it easy, but he's making it easy for us to go to Jannah, if we think about it. If only we are sincere. One good deed, minimum 10 rewards. I say minimum because in a hadith, like Muhammad SAW says, Allah can do as He wills. If He wants to multiply it, He can multiply it. But for bad, that only bad to your name. What type of life would a person have to live to come on the day of Qiyamah and then his bad deeds outweighs his good? The only way is there were maybe good deeds, but he nullified it. And this is also an ayah recited tonight. Powerful ayah. This is for us, especially coming to the end of the month. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the famous hadith, you know the first hadith in Bukhari, actions are by intention, isn't it? But he also said, innamal a'malu bil khawatim, actions are only by the way you end them. Actions are only by their seals. Actions are only by their endings. Some people start strong, but they end weak. They lose focus in the end. We are supposed to become stronger, more determined, more focused, and hence, i'tikaf. Even more against the nafs, pushing it down. So Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, of those who have believed, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul, wa la tubtilu a'malakum. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not nullify your actions. You did actions, but don't make it in vain. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba once, who is the muflis, who is the bankrupt person? So they said, the muflis is man la dirham lahu wa la dinar. The bankrupt person is the one who has no cent to his name. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, in dunya terms, yes. But the truly bankrupt person is the one who is presented on the day of Qiyamah to Allah. Made salah, gave zakah, recited this, did all that, is known for a particular space in the community, but his dealings with fellow man was poor and putrid and spoiled. It was weak. Slandered this one, backbited the other one. Verses of backbiting were recited tonight. Now, took the wealth of some people, hit some other people, even took the bad dealings of this person's good deeds will be given to them because justice. And there will be some people, Rasulullah said, may Allah protect us, some people whose relationships were so bad with others, so poor it was, that even after all their good deeds are given to the people whom they wronged, there's still some injustices that are left unseen to. So what did Nabi Muhammad SAW say? Then of those people's bad deeds will be placed on them. Oh. That's the only way. Because Allah is making it so easy. Do one good deed, it's multiplied for you. So think about it. The opportunities. We spoke the other night when the radio was here about this month being a month of hope. And we think about this relationship between us and our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. A relationship filled with opportunity. Filled with opportunity. I'm never too bad or too weak or too lazy to improve or to become better or to become righteous. It's between me and my Creator. No matter what I've done, no matter what I've done, no matter who knows, no matter who knows, you can always start again. Always make amends. Try. People sometimes, people need time to acclimatize. I smack you. No, come more than say, "Kita sa kimi maafan." Say, "Kaya kayo maafi." But I remember the smack, and I'm gonna watch when I'm in your presence. Sin. But it leaves a mark. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, if He forgives, no marks. If He forgives, no traces. If He forgives, it's clean. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Opportunity, opportunity. Then one last note. Our relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are, I want to say, indebted to him. We cannot live our life without that acknowledgement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's place in the deen and in our lives sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the medium, he's the one who was chosen. It is part of our iman that we must love him. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. None of you have iman until I'm more beloved to you than your parents and your children and the rest of humanity. Some people say it's a love of action, it's a physical thing. No, it's a felt love. Because how do you love your father and your mother? In your mind, in your heart. How do you love your children? May Allah grant us children, good children. And how do you love a fellow friend and teacher and student and neighbor? With your heart, isn't it? Nabi Muhammad SAW said, and he did not speak out of his own hawa. Allah instructed him, inspired him, guided him to say this. It's part of iman that we love Rasulullah SAW. And our love is supposed to result in action. Why I'm saying this is because of an ayah here. If we, by saying, Ashadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah, we have pledged. We have pledged allegiance to Rasulullah ﷺ and his example. We have pledged and we've confirmed our space in this ummah. You have a rightful space in this ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad ﷺ by saying the shahada. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. That's a covenant with Allah. And ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah is your link to Rasulullah ﷺ that covers time and space. Why am I saying this? Because our link is so important. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. Those who pledge you, Rasulullah SAW, those who make a pledge with you, and have an allegiance with you, Muhammad SAW, they are doing nothing but pledging allegiance to Allah. Because Allah guided this man, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to be what he wants of us all. And with all our weaknesses, there's always tawbah. With all our weaknesses, there's istighfar. With all our weaknesses, these bonuses here. Fasting, you get forgiven. Standing in salah, you get forgiven. Finally, little qadr, you get forgiven. Like we spoke the other night. Now. But to develop ourselves, to taste the purity of a chaste life. The only way is in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you have iman until this nafs and his desires here conform to what I have brought. Kadar hadith. My nafs feels to do whatever. None of you have iman until you try to curb now your desires and your inner self to conform to that which I have come with. What did he come with? Came with the best of examples. Came with the holy book and all that it contains. There are many beautiful verses. And the relationship with Rasulullah ﷺ at the start of Surah Al-Hujurat speaks about not raising the voices in his presence. And if you raise the voice in his presence, then other actions might become null and void. Look at those verses. Was one Sahaba, Thabit ibn Qais, had a loud voice. So when this ayah was revealed, he was missing for a few days. And out of the hundreds of Sahaba in Medina, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat one day and said, "Where is Thabit ibn Qais?" They were going to look for him, Rasulullah. They found him in his house, trembling, scared. "Why are you not there?" "I fear that I speak in Nabi Muhammad's presence without realizing it, then my other actions become null and void because my voice is louder than his." Caution, because actions are precious. Actions are precious. And I said, no. He, first Thabit ibn Qais, the other Sahabi. Can I share something? You know what's a bequest, right? Wasiyah, vasiyah means. It's the your last wish, your dying wish on your deathbed. Now Thabit ibn Qais, normally you give that, it's part of your will maybe, you say, yeah. You can go up until one third of your estate, you can give as a bequest to people who are not heirs. It's something you maybe want to give to someone. Wish of how your estate must be distributed. Anyway, Thabit ibn Qais was in the battle of Yamama against Musaylama al-Kadhab, and he had a type of armor on. This is in our book, this really happened, word deed. Sahaba, people that trained their nafs, and Allah opened up for them. That's something else we must speak about, how the arwah, the souls are connected. So what? He was martyred in that battle. Right? And a new Sahabi, who did not know the laws of battle, passed by his body, and before anything could happen, removed this armor. Young new Sahabi removed his armor and took it. Removed Thabit's armor for something precious. The next night, an Ansari, one of the Ansar, dreams of Thabit ibn Qais. Check this. Thabit ibn Qais says to him, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "Yes, Thabit ibn Qais." He says, "Beware of thinking that this is just your imagination or this is just any other dream. I have a message for you. After I was martyred yesterday, so and so took my armor. He's on the one side of the encampment. He placed it under a pot and there's a stone on the pot. Go there, retrieve it, take it to Khalid ibn Walid." Khalid was the, what do you call it? Commander of the battalion. "Take it to Khalid. Say when he returns to Medina, he must take it to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq because he was in Abu Bakr's Khilafah. And Abu Bakr must call two people, so and so and so and so. I have debts to settle with them. He must sell my armor and settle my debt, please, and set my slave free." Now the man wakes up. He's thinking, "No, mutik no khan na Khalid too, because Khalid is an other man." He goes to Khalid. You never know. No, nothing to lose. Khalid immediately stands up. They go to that spot in the encampment. They find the tension with the what? With the pot next to it and the stone on top. Is Rukhi Sahaba. "What did you honor?" Say, "I did it. Ma upa." They found the armor there. They go back to Medina to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Say, "Abu Bakr, Thabit ibn Qais was martyred. This man had a dream. He said this and that. Here's the armor. He said you must call so and so and so and so and must set his slave free." So they call so and so and so and so. They asked him, "Did Thabit ibn Qais owe you things? Owe you some money?" He said, "Yes. So much. Enough for what the value of the armor was." He sold the armor and then settled Thabit ibn Qais's debt and set his slave free. He is known in our books of history as the only Sahabi, that one with a loud voice who went to the room and hide away from Nabi Sallam because he feared his actions were, I'm getting excited, sorry. Getting his actions were what? Gonna be null and void. That Sahabi, look how Allah honored him at the end of his life. Because dying with a debt is a problem. Allah said, "Help us to settle all our debts." It's a problem. Things are hanging. And family must see to the debts after we pass on. It's a amana. You with me? But see how Allah honored him, that his bequest was passed on after he died, after he was martyred, after he traversed to the next world. Allah grant us tawfiq. Grant us to taste the beauty of deen and see the beauty of deen. May our hearts be illuminated. May we be of those who develop self-control and improve all the time and be blessed with Laylatul Qadr. The Naqsala, inshallah, will start at 10:15 this evening, and hopefully we're done by 10:45, 11:30 for the latest. 10:15 every night. From tonight, inshallah. There's a request. If we make dua for Timariam Basir, known as Mati, who is celebrating her 90th birthday tomorrow, inshallah. May Allah increase in health and strength, make it easy for the family in the relationship with her. May Allah bless her with His rahmah. May Allah grant her strength, health. Naam. In the stage of her life, in the difficult stage of her life, protection. Ameen. And grant her and us all a good ending from this dunya. And there's a request from Brother Ismail Sukkah. His mother sent a request that he must make dua for Mama Fatima Ibrahim, who passed away 15 years ago, the wife of Imam Abbas of Witfoot Street. Witfoot Street, na? May Allah increase the nur in the qabr, grant a high place in Jannah, resurrect her and Imam, and us all under the flag of Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم يا ذا المن ولا يمن عليه أرحم الراحمين اللهم طول عمرها في طاعتك اللهم أحسن عاقبتها في الأمور كلها اللهم أجرها ويانا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيي على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفى على الإيمان اللهم اغفر لها وارحمها وسكنها في الجنة وجعل قبرها روضة من رياض الجنة واحشرها وإيانا مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين صلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على حبيبك وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.